Blog Talk Radio.
Folks, what is going on? This is Arden here, man, back at it once again with another episode of AST Radio. And, of course, you can also describe it as the Snatchback Podcast because we are back with the 2016 NBA Playoff Special. That's right, man. The NBA Playoffs is here with us after another long and tiring but exciting NBA regular season. And it feels so good, man. This is my favorite time of the year. As a basketball fan, you know, I mean, getting through that 82-game regular season is tough. You know, it really is, man. You know, I'm still a big supporter, and hopefully the regular season being shortened a bit, whether it's 66 to 72 games, I would love that. Not by that amount. You know, I know you might be thinking, well, you just do once, you know, 66 to 72 games cut off. Nah, man, I'm just saying, like, I would love a 66 to 72-game schedule, but this regular season was exciting. You know, it was a good one. I know for me, when I look back on this regular season, I think besides the obvious but entertaining dominance by the Golden State Warriors, the thing that really had me excited was the fact that the Eastern Conference was finally good again. You know, it's about damn time. It was very competitive. I mean, I'm looking at the Eastern Conference standings right now. First time in a long time, a very long time, folks, that in the Eastern Conference, all the playoff teams was above 500. The worst playoff team in the East is the Detroit Pistons, and they're 44-38. Beforehand, over the last few years, a 44-38 team probably would have been the fifth seed in the East, or maybe number four, but the East stepped up. And you know what? It happens because of the fact that folks was relatively healthy this year. You know, when you look at teams like Miami or Atlanta or Boston, they was relatively healthy, you know, or a team like Detroit, you know, and we had a couple surprise teams. Like, not many people thought that Charlotte would make the playoffs, but they made the playoffs. They were a 48-win team. Nobody would have thought Indiana would make the playoffs, but they did. They're a 45-win team. And heck, even when you look at some of the teams that did make the playoffs in the East, you know, you got the Chicago Bulls. That's definitely a surprise, 42-40. The Washington Wizards, 41-41. And heck, even the Orlando Magic, they were in the playoff race for quite some time, and they were 35-47. But you look at the West basically has a top eight standing that would have been very similar to the East over the last few years. Well, except the 70-plus wins part. But I look at the Western Conference standings. I see Golden State was 73, then San Antonio, 67, Oklahoma City, 55. Los Angeles, 53, and then you start seeing from 5 to 8, three wins separate the 5th seed through the 8th seed. Now, usually in the West, that would mean, okay, are we talking 52 to 49 wins? No, we're talking 44 to 41. You know, so, hey, but I take that, though, because the Eastern Conference has been getting crapped on by so many. Oh, it's a weak conference. It's too easy. But this year, it's going to be lit. Trust me on that. And I also have a special guest on today's show. We're waiting for him to call in right now. My guy, Randy Cruz, host of the Cruz Control Podcast. One of the best people to follow on Twitter. And if you're not, shame on you. You should be following him because the guy's big time with information regarding sports, regarding wrestling, regarding music, regarding movies. My guy does it all. Plus, he hosts a pretty damn good podcast called Cruise Control, and it's on SoundCloud. You can find it at soundcloud.com/Hits Podcast Network. It's in the description below. And you can follow him on Twitter, at Randy Cruz. His at name is actually in the title above. But, man, this NBA playoffs has the potential to be something special. It really does. I think it has the potential to be one of the best ones in recent memory because it's either going to happen in two ways. Ready? It's going to happen. Actually, it's going to happen in three ways. Follow along. And actually, our guest is on the air right now. So before I share with you my three reasons why the NBA playoffs this year can be special. Let me once again reintroduce to you my dude Randy Cruz. Please follow him on Twitter at Randy Cruz. My guy hosts a great podcast, by the way, called The Cruise Control. You can follow once again on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/hitpodcastnetwork. And of course, my dude also helps run the Hoops in the Sun basketball league that's in the Bronx at Orchard Beach. You guys know I'm in the basketball in the streets. Oh, by the way, I'm attending the Nike EYBL session in Brooklyn this weekend. But enough about that. Randy, how's everything going on with you, man?
I'm doing good, Arden. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Can't complain, man. I had to get you on the show, man. It's been a little while, man.
Yeah, man. First of all, always greatly appreciate the invite. I know we get to talk about basketball and some wrestling from time to time. So anytime you invite me on, man, you know I'm there.
Absolutely, man. Once again, folks, this is Randy Cruz, and I recommend that you, for one, follow him on Twitter at Randy Cruz. His at is in the title above. And, of course, please check out the Cruise Control podcast, man, at soundcloud.com/hitspodcastnetwork. Let me tell you something, Randy. You've been on fire with the Cruise Control podcast, man. Your guests have been on point. Everything's sounding good, man. You really hitting your stride.
Well, you know, thank you, man. I really appreciate that. I appreciate you tuning in and following up. I mean, it's been going on for, I think, about a year and a half, maybe two, and just, you know, just like you, you know, we both work hard to try to, you know, get some good guests to come on the show, and if not, we still do our best to do a great show, even though there is no guest. So as long as we know what we're talking about with any sport or genre, you know, we're good to go. But the podcast has been great lately. I think I'm doing a show later on today, just trying to finalize some stuff, and maybe tomorrow with the whole NBA playoffs and Kobe's final game, the Warriors. So, you know, there's plenty to talk about. So, obviously, when I know more information for today, I'll put it out there. I'll let you and everybody else know. But the podcast is going well so far.
Hey, man, definitely good things to hear. And, you know, you mentioned Kobe. You know, I felt like, you know, why not, man? And you know what, man? Kobe's performance last night is the reason why, you know, us folks in sports Twitter, I feel like we're the best folks on Twitter, man, because it's the reason why you have to be on the app and why you had to watch the game, because holy crap. I mean, I watched the highlights again this morning, and I still couldn't believe that the man dropped 60 points in his final game. And I know we always say Kobe, you know, pass the ball here and there, but I was like, God damn it, Kobe, shoot. I was like, shoot that ball, man. Shoot
right,
until
right.
You can't shoot no more, bro. I mean, how did you feel last night, man, as you was watching this, you know, play out live, man? I couldn't believe it.
First of all, man, I think it's just been, mainly an honor and a privilege to watch Kobe's entire 20-year career. I am by far not a Laker fan, but he is one of my favorite players of all
right.
time. And just to have that and remember when he first started out as a rookie and even getting drafted by Charlotte and then getting traded to L.A. and the first preseason game, his first playoff series, shooting air balls against Utah, and everybody thought,
yeah.
You know, it was a bad pick and he wasn't going to be the player that he eventually became. And just to see 20 years of greatness and five championships and all-stars and, you know, more people hating him than loving him, unless you're a Lakers fan. But, you know, he really epitomized the way that basketball should be played, where he'll play a game and this guy is in, you know, he's working out the next day, he's still shooting around, they could be out from the playoffs and he's still in the gym the next day over the summer. The guy was relentless on and off the court. A major legendary superstar athlete and ball player, and he was the Michael of this current era, of this current generation era. And, you know, many people thought, you know, once Michael retired, was it going to be another Michael Jordan? And we've had plenty, though, with the Harold Miners, the Grant Hills, the Penny Hardaways,
yeah.
And they were all pretty good, but, you know, injuries got to them. But Kobe was the one guy that really, you know, his mannerisms, the way he shot the ball, the way he did commercial, the way he did everything about him, he really idolized Michael, and he was really our Michael of our modern time. And he really extended the Jordan era into his era, where he became the guy that, you know, off the court, he might be your friend, but on the court, he wants to, you know, destroy you. And he had that mentality every single game. And I think at the end, it was kind of fun to see him, you know, let his guard down this year with the media, with the teammates, that he was happy. He was smiling more. He looked at peace with everything that was going on. So for once in a while, it was finally good to see Kobe in a good place, be at peace with his retirement decision, and that, you know, maybe more people began to like him or love him as opposed to hating him throughout his 20-year career.
Hey, man, I agree with everything you said there, man. I know for me, it's definitely been mostly a love-hate relationship with Kobe. Me loving Kobe more than hating him. But at the same time, though, when you have a guy that's just so divisive when it comes to fan reaction and what he's done for the game, it doesn't surprise me one bit. And, you know, and some of the things that you said about Kobe is just true, man. And it's also true what others said, too. Like, we've grew up with Kobe. Like, you know, like, it doesn't matter how old you are. Like, folks grew up with Kobe. Like,
right.
Depending on how old you are, like, let's say folks between, let's say, like, 20 and 35, like, you either was lucky to see Michael during his peak, or if you're somebody as young as me, you saw Michael towards the tail end. Like, I started watching basketball at a young age, so I saw Michael, like, 97, 98, but my clear memories of him is as a Wizard. I was able to follow Kobe throughout the whole journey, you know what I'm saying? Same thing with, like, LeBron, but with what Kobe has done for the game, it's just been remarkable to watch, and we'll definitely miss him. But let's go ahead and shift the focus to the NBA playoffs, because, Randy, the question is simply this, as the NBA playoffs is set to begin on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Who really has a legitimate chance at dethroning the Golden State Warriors? Because at this point, Randy, the only challenge I think Golden State is going to have is if they can top the 0-1 Lakers postseason record of 15-1. And I'm being dead serious when I say that.
No, I mean, I can't disagree with you. This team, you know, had a remarkable historic season. And, you know, me, I was a Chicago Bull fan back in the 90s, so seeing that record being dethroned was like, wow, like, well, that's one less thing from my childhood I can recall now, because now the Warriors had the record. But I mean, it was a different time back then, a different time now, different talent, more teams, better players. So I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due, to the Warriors winning 73. I think they could have won a little. I thought they were going to win at least 75, but some games that they just really weren't into it. Minnesota, Milwaukee, they could have really had 75 wins, but to really dethrone them as champions, you're talking about a team that has to beat them four times within a week and a half, 2 weeks.
I know.
I don't see that happening. And everybody says San Antonio, but I just don't think San Antonio has the athleticism to keep
That's
up
right.
with them. If anybody outside, I still think from a Western Conference standpoint, if it's not San Antonio, I still think that the OKC Thunder has a legit shot of making it competitive. You know, every time they played this year, it's been, you know, Curry had to hit almost a half-court shot to beat OKC, or it went down to the final minutes. I think OKC would be a better series against the Warriors, where the Warriors would have to work for it. San Antonio's good. They have the second best record in the league, but I just think four times in a week and a half, the Thunder might have the best chance. If you go to the East, the only team, I mean, I think the Cavaliers have the easiest route to the finals, but I just don't think they can handle the Warriors four losses. And everybody goes back to, what if Kevin Love and Kyrie play last year? I'm like, well, they're going to play this year, and we're going to see. And, you know, they could have some threats like Toronto and Miami and the East, but I still think it's Cleveland. But I don't know, man. It's just the Warriors season has been so special. Steve Kerr, great job coaching. Stephen Curry is just, you know, having arguably the greatest individual season ever in the NBA.
Oh yeah, for sure. It has to be.
And you think everything is going to stop, you know, over the next 2 months? I just don't see that happening. They've had a chip on their shoulder since day one. They act like they lost the finals last year. And they try to prove so many people wrong. And now it's like, well, they're 73-9. You just never thought that 72-10 record would be broken. And it's gone now. Now it's like, who do they have? The Rockets? And they're going to play, you know, OKC? It's just... I don't know, man. If anybody knocks them off, I think that'll be the biggest shock of the year.
Heck, it might be one of the biggest, I think, one of the biggest upsets and recent
sports history.
Like the last 20, 25 years. And, you know, just to clarify what you said about matchups, Oklahoma City's the third seed. So, if they win their first round matchup, they face Dallas because Dallas is the sixth seed. It will be Oklahoma City versus San Antonio in the second round. If the Warriors, they'll face the winner of Los Angeles and Portland. And by the way, side note, you guys know CP3. That's my guy. I love CP3. But I'm at the point where I'm kind of hoping Dame wins because I would love to see Dame versus Steph in the second round. But either way, what you said about the Warriors, man, it's true. And you know what's been crazy for me, and which is why I really can't see nobody beating Golden State? It's because Golden State has, I feel like, and you could probably confirm this, I'd probably say Golden State probably has, since Jordan's 72-10 Bulls, probably the best focus I've ever seen from a basketball team. This team knows how to focus. They know how to refocus. They know how to adjust. And it's absurd. It's like, you know that if you beat them, it's like, all right, yeah, they're going to beat us the next game. Because they just adjust. And again, man, it's this crazy to think you won 67 games last year. You got the chip, and yet you still hungry? You still want more? You go out and you get 73? And that's the thing, too. Like, when you look at their 9 losses, what was their closest loss, Randy? Maybe to San Antonio? At San Antonio, what was it? They played 6 out of 9 games. Other than that, to beat Golden State this year, it had to require you beating them by 20 to 30 points, literally. You scoring 50 points, literally, or they had guys that was injured, or if they played a crazy amount of games in a tight stretch. I'm with you, man. I think in terms of matchups, I feel like my Cavaliers give them the best chance just because of talent, but I don't think they will because I think they lack the mental fortitude that Golden State has. And I'm also at the point where I'm not excited anymore by a Golden State-San Antonio series. I'm just not because I've watched those games and I'm like, San Antonio, I mean, I respect and love you, Pop, and to those guys there. But the closest you got was when Golden State was missing like 2 contributors and Iggy and Bogut, and they played 6 out of 9, and you guys beat them by just like 8 points, bro. Other than that, they smacked you guys by 20 to 30 points. And I actually want your opinion on this because I saw somebody tweet this on Twitter, and I had to think about it for a second, but I realized it's true. That it was like, for as big of an impact player Kawhi Leonard is on defense, it was like versus Golden State, his impact is minimized because Golden State is not a team that thrives on isolation ball like a Cleveland or like a Oklahoma City.
Yeah, seeing this team and seeing – you know, what they can do to their opponents night in, night out, and even holding down a guy like Kawhi Leonard. When certain teams play the Warriors, the main guy on the opposing team doesn't really play all that well. Like, it could be a Kawhi Leonard. We've seen Russell Westbrook play differently when he plays against the Warriors. And it's like Russell Westbrook
plays like trash.
35 and triple-double against everybody else. But once he... you know, once he plays the Warriors, maybe he tries to go too hard. He tries to do some things outside of his element. And I think when Kawhi plays against the Warriors, not taking nothing away from Leonard, he's a champion and finals MVP and all that, but it's something about the Warriors that you have to play 5-10 times as hard against them because any one slip-up, one defensive assignment that you don't get, the threes are going up. And it's not they're not a real physical team. They're just fast, young, athletic, mm-hmm. and they can shoot the lights out. And they have four, five, six guys that can make outside shots. So if it ain't Curry, it's Thompson. If it's not Clay, it's Draymond. It's Iguodala. It's Barbosa. It's like, you know, you think you have them in a slump, but then like you turn around and they're right there. Like it's amazing how. Like I said before, they act like they lost last year. And I think going back to Chicago real quick, I think the similarities of the chip on both shoulders is the fact that the Warriors, I think they keep hearing that, oh, well, Kyrie and Love didn't play, or Pat Beverly from the Rockets didn't play, or Mike Conley had a broken nose in round two, and Drew Holiday did not play in round one for the Pelicans. Well, that's why they won a championship. And then they heard that. They didn't really earn it. It was a fluke. Let's see what they do this year. And boom, they win 73. Chicago, the chip on their shoulder was the fact that people thought, like, Michael came back. He probably lost some steam coming back from baseball. He only played 20 games in 95. And everybody's like, well, the Magic are the new team in the Eastern Conference.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, you know, dethrone Chicago. And Michael's chip was, listen, I'm still the guy. I'm still Jordan. We're still going to be champions. And he came back. He worked out the whole summer. And they came back. Like, listen, I'm going to prove that I'm still the best player in the league. We're going to prove we're still the best team in the league besides the Magic and everybody else, you know, up and coming. And they proved that. So the same chip on their shoulder is the same thing the Warriors had. And, you know, we can have these playoffs, man. I really don't care. It's about time to have some meaningful games. But at some point, like you said, they might run the gauntlet. They might go one loss in the whole playoffs. I don't think any series is going to go no more than six. I give you that. But it's going to be very tough to see who can really, you know, I mean, they can't be beat. But it's just like, I don't think you can beat them four times within a week and a half. That's not happening.
It's just you have to sell yourself on the who and how. You have to get it done. And I think the problem is the how is it takes, like, incredible hows. It takes, once again, based off this regular season, it's going to take you beating them by 20 to 30 points. It's going to take a player on your team to have a significant performance. It's not like
Right. Their
nine losses was like, oh, close games, oh, we see flaws. It's like, dude, like, you're not going to beat them four times by 20 to 30 points. Like, you're not going to have anybody – and a playoff series get 50 on these guys. I'll give Durant the best chance and possibly LeBron,
right. But
it's like, it's just not going to happen. It's like, in order to beat these guys, you're going to have to be so in tuned physically and mentally. And I think that's the thing about Golden State that makes them Golden State. It's mentally. They've had the best focus I think the league has seen since the Jordan Bulls. They know how to adjust. And they have a system. Because I think in terms of – because if it was really dictated by individual talent, in my opinion, then there are some teams out there that would beat Golden State just based on individual talent. But it's not just that. It's about mentally, can you really match this team when it comes to focus? And not many teams can't. Not many teams can't. But just to shift the focus from Golden State, man, when we're looking at the playoff matchups, I mean, for one – Like I mentioned earlier in the show, I'm really intrigued by Clippers Trailblazers. You know, CP3 versus Dame. I think that's a toss-up series. And I really like in the West, for some reason, I like Oklahoma City versus Dallas. For some reason, I feel like if there's any series out West or in the playoffs in the first round that has the biggest chance of an upset, I'm going to go Dallas over Oklahoma City as an upset, if that was the case.
I don't know. Well, to your point, I'm very intrigued, just like you are, with the Clippers in Portland. I think it's going to be at least six. I think the Clippers beat Portland. I just think they, outside of CJ and Dame, I think the Clippers have more talent, more scoring on there. And plus, they're still getting Blake back in, you know, the whole mix of things. And there's no way CP3 is going out in round one. I know it happened before, but I think this is a year that, again, he might get bumped out second round again. It's just how everything falls into place. But I'm not intrigued by San Antonio and Memphis, I'll tell you that much.
Golden State and Houston,
Golden State and Houston could be okay. Like the first two games, we'll just see. It is a Western Conference Finals rematch, so maybe the first game or two, we'll see how it goes. Now OKC and Dallas. To me, I wanted Houston and Utah in the playoffs because I'm just getting tired of seeing the Mavericks.
Memphis.
Yeah. Or I mean, if Memphis was fully healthy with Marcus Saul and everybody, that's totally different. But Memphis gonna get what? Maybe a game against? Maybe no games. That's how good San Antonio is. But I think the other intriguing playoff matchup to me, not for upset, but I think Miami-Charlotte is one that I didn't want to see. Because that was like, oh, wow, like you get Kimba, you get D-Wade, you get Joe Johnson and everything. Like, okay, like Charlotte really surprised a lot of people. I did not have them making the playoffs, and I think Kimba really carried that team throughout the year, even the Boston series. I mean, they play Atlanta. Atlanta's not all that exciting, but to see Isaiah Thomas and him having a great year and see what they can do. Paul George is back in the playoffs.
That's the matchup I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
I like Toronto, Indiana. I like that. I'm hoping Indiana can push Toronto for like six games.
Yeah, Toronto's really good, man. I think they're the only – maybe them and Miami are the only team that can dethrone Cleveland, but even the Cleveland-Detroit has a little intrigue.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit hasn't been in the playoffs for over 5 years. You get Drummond and Reggie Jackson, Stanley John. I mean, they got talent, but maybe they get a game against Cleveland. I mean, Cleveland can be beat. Let's be real about it. They can be beat. So, they probably have a night off. They'll win it in five. But Heat, Hornets, and the Clippers and Portland are the two series that I would watch every game if it goes far.
Absolutely, man. I agree with you there. You know, for me in the East, just to touch on Cleveland, Detroit, I expect that to be a somewhat competitive five-game series. And honestly,
right.
I want the Cavs to be somewhat challenged, man, on the road to the finals. I really do. Like, I don't want no easy, teasy type of road, man. Like, I want Detroit to challenge us a little bit. I think in the second round, hold on, let me look real quick. In the second round.
Oh, that's right. You're a Cavs fan. I forgot. Forgot about that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I want Detroit. Yep, I want Detroit to challenge us a little bit. And, I want Boston in the second round. I want that matchup. I really do want that matchup. But I'm very excited, man. Like I said, especially for some reason in the East, I just like Toronto, Indiana. Like, I just saw that matchup, and I go, man, this matchup is a good one. And plus, this could be Paul George's, reemergence back into that superstar conversation, just reminding folks, hey, man, I'm back. I know you guys forgot about me a little bit, plus Kawhi was shining, but hey, I'm back. But before we end this, man, final thoughts on the playoffs. What are you expecting?
Me, as a fan, I'm just hoping that, some series go at least five, maybe six. I'm not a fan of sweeps, unless they're very competitive. Sweeps like Pelicans and the Warriors were last year. It was a sweep, but New Orleans was in every game. As long as it's competitive, we see some very crazy kind of games, last second shots, overtimes, a lot of intrigue and drama. Plus everybody remains healthy because anybody who goes down that really diminishes that series. So everybody remains healthy, good games, and just maybe an upset. Maybe an upset can really be like, oh, wow, like, anybody could win the whole thing. But hope the Warriors don't really demolish everybody on their way to a championship. Just try to make it, at least act like you're not bored or something. So I don't know. But to me, if the Warriors were not having – the kind of season they've had. I always tell people, listen, if it ain't the Warriors, I would not mind LeBron winning his third ring because I am a LeBron fan. And I also want Kevin Durant to win a ring. And it's just amazing how the Warriors the last 2 years have really come up and really kind of like intervened in what LeBron tried to do, coming back home, win a ring for the Cavs. And out of nowhere, you see the Warriors do what they do. And even Durant is like, oh, man, I can't. Now the Warriors are Durant and Westbrook's new hump to get over.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Clippers. It's going to be a second year in a row. CP3 might get out second round. And it's like, is CP3 ever going to get out the second round? Is he ever going to win a chip? It's what the Warriors do affects a lot of people. It affects LeBron's third ring, CP3 getting out the second round, Durant getting his first ring, San Antonio, great season. And it's like, hey, you can get David West and Aldridge and all these guys you want. It doesn't matter because we're still going to beat you. So as long as they make it competitive and everybody remains healthy, then I'm all in for the playoffs.
Hey, man, it goes back to what I've been telling people for months now, man. Golden State has simply hijacked the league. Steph Curry hijacked the league, man. He hijacked the league. Legacies are about to get changed because of the 6'3" light-skinned brother from Davidson. But, Randy, thank you once again, man, for coming on the show. Folks, please follow Randy on Twitter, at Randy Cruz. Please check out the Cruise Control podcast. You can find it, soundcloud.com/hitspodcastnetwork. It's on there in the description below. Randy, anything else that you want to plug? Anything else I might have forgot?
I'm so jealous you met John Cena.
Yes. Aha, I did, my man.
Yeah, I saw the Michael Kay show on Center Stage. I think it was on Monday or Tuesday. It was on Tuesday I saw it. I think I saw a glimpse of you clapping in the background. I was like, man, I could have. I think I was sick that week, and I just didn't go. Maybe I thought I wasn't going to be able to get in because maybe it was going to be crowded and everything. But it was a great interview. I'm not the biggest John Cena fan, but I do respect him for what he's been able to do. Maybe I'm becoming more of a fan as time goes on. But seeing him come back at Mania, it's like, oh man, like deep down inside, people really miss John Cena, no matter what they say. But it was a good interview. I'm glad you went. Glad you met him. I never met him, so hopefully down the road I get the opportunity. But I'm still a little jealous about that.
Hey, man, I couldn't believe it myself, man. But, hey, I'll tell you what, though. We're all going to be together when SummerSlam comes back to Brooklyn, man.
Yeah, I'll be at SummerSlam. I forgot what section I'm in. I'm in the same area as I was last year in the 200s. It's like a catty cornered facing the ring where they have the digital side apron, that kind of that angle. So if hopefully we can catch up outside the arena or in the arena, let's make it happen.
Man.
And I know SummerSlam is going to be good.
Absolutely, for sure, man. Randy, thank you once again, man, and have a good day.
Always a pleasure, man. Thank you, and I appreciate it.
All right, no problem. All right.
All right.
All right, folks, and that's the 2016 NBA Playoff Special presented by AST Radio and the Cruise Control Podcast. Thank you once again to Randy for coming on the show. Always great talking with my dude. And, yeah, just like Randy, I just expect Golden State just to go through these playoffs really just untested. And I think for Golden State, their biggest opponent will be themselves. Nothing more, nothing less. It's going to be how determined they are, how focused they are, how healthy they are. And if they basically check out all those boxes with no problems, then when mid-June comes, we should expect Golden State to be hosting that trophy once again, unless one of those boxes is not checked and unless somehow, some way, a team from the East or the West just comes out and challenges and takes the title away from Golden State. And hopefully it's my catalyst. But other than that, man, that's today's show. Thank you for listening. This is Arden talking to you. Follow me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk. It's in the description below. SoundCloud, everything's in the description. Enjoy the NBA playoffs. I'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.